Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and we are on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM KVSHLP Vashon Island, Washington, your island connection. We're here with you every Tuesday afternoon and Friday at 6 to explore questions large, small, and mystical. And today, we're kind of in the mystical part. I have with me Ainsley MacLeod, who is a past life psychic, author, and he's here to talk about his new book, The Old Souls Guidebook. Welcome, Ainsley.
Thank you very much for having me on the show again.
We were just talking before the show started about some history that we share.
Right.
Yeah. And I was wondering if you would be willing to go back in time and tell us just briefly how you got started on the whole past life soul work.
Right. Well, our history was when you interviewed me years ago.
Many years ago.
And I was, am I allowed to say shit scared on the...
Yeah. No, but...
Okay.
But, really
but
scared.
I was very scared.
Yeah.
I had a huge past life issue. Now, I didn't know for the longest time. It wasn't until I started well into doing the work that I do now that I realized that it was a past life thing. All my life, I had been terrified of public speaking. And it got worse in my 20s and 30s. And I would do anything to avoid public speaking. I mean, I would get such a phobic reaction. I'd run out of so many meetings. My biggest fear was a round robin. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's coming around.
It's my turn.
It's going to be my turn. I'm counting the seconds. I'm sweating. And then it's maybe two people away. And I go, you know, I got to go. And, I just didn't do it. And you interviewed me a couple of times. And it was, I mean, thank goodness it was you and not somebody hostile. Because I was dying anyway. There was a time when I had a conversation with a friend of mine who used to live on the island, and he shared the same fear, and he said to me, would you rather lose a finger or give a speech? And I said, well, which finger? And then we're looking at our pinky fingers. We decided, you know, losing a pinky.
But, you could know, spare that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about the top joint or maybe the second joint. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, how much of the finger are we talking about? And we both agreed in all seriousness that we would rather lose a finger than give a speech. Now, I overcame the fear.
You did. I mean, when you first came in to the studio, you brought all the questions and the answers.
I know. It was like nothing left to
quickly,
chance.
Quickly, yes, said, like, that's not going
that's
to work.
Not how it works. It's like, I thought I was being helpful. It was, yeah, I mean, I was, it was, as far as phobias go, it was a full 10, or if you could have more than 10.
So did you identify the past life cause for that?
Yeah.
What was it?
So, I went into a past life, and this is the what had started happening was with reading people, doing psychic readings, past lives would come up more and more, and they were always related to the present life. There was always a reason for doing it. It's not just curiosity, but it would explain why a person had a certain issue, certain repeat patterns in their lives, phobias, limiting beliefs, fears, certain areas of weakness in the body, talents, but, you know, positive things as well. But it would explain so much about a person's present life. And I went into a past life where I was judged in front of a court of law. I was judged by magistrates and executed afterwards. Oh. And so what was happening, and, you know, most people don't know that this is how it works because it's a very common fear, but you get triggered. It's a reminder, something that reminds the soul of the past life. So everything is just fine. and then somebody says, hey, could you say a few words, talk into this microphone or whatever it is. I've played in bands all my life, as you know, and
yeah,
you know, people say, hey, could you sound check that mic? And, you know, back in the old days, it was like, oh, I'd pretend I didn't hear or just turn my back and
really?
Walk
away. Really?
You
couldn't even sound check the mic?
Oh, no.
I couldn't. Wow.
No, all that sort of thing. It was just, these were triggers. They were, you know, reminders, you know, and so the whole thing was, and, you know, the more bad experiences I had, of course, the worse it became. After finding the past life, I joined Toastmasters on the island. Wonderful organization designed to help people who want to improve their public speaking skills. And in my opinion, it really is more for people who have a fear. You know, I don't think
you were all scared.
I think really people don't generally join it if they're comfortable.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's a way to get over the fear. And it's funny, I had turned up for a meeting for the first time before having done the past life. And I got to the door and I went, I can't do it. I turned away. I did the past life, but I hadn't had the chance to test it. I didn't know, you know, because sometimes if you find a past life and you air it, you're reminding the soul that that was then and this is now. And it can just let go of it. It just sometimes fears, phobias, physical pains, all sorts of things will just disappear, like sometimes in the moment. But I had no way of testing this. So I went back. I made myself a promise. I said that I was going to join Toastmasters. And I was going to go every week, no matter how awful the experience was. And I turned up and I was expecting the worst. I was expecting to have my heart racing, the sweats, the shaky voice. And I think my voice trembled a little bit, but you know, I was able to stand up and say a few words, you know, maybe three or four, and I was going, oh my God, this is extraordinary.
Well, and here you are having written your third book, running webinars. You've appeared on Oprah.
Right.
You are consistently writing and speaking.
I'm making up for lost time.
I guess you are in past lives.
It was like 3 decades not talking, you know, and now it's like, just try to shut me up.
Yeah, we can't shut you up. speaking of your third book, The Old Soul's Guidebook, which I believe is available as of today.
Yes, yeah.
And how do people get it?
Well, people can order it through their local bookstore, which is the way we would like it to be ordered.
Yes.
And but you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or, you know, the usual.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
That's great.
Yeah. And we've had some good pre-sales and some incredible feedback. People just loving it.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because one of the stories or observations, there's a section in the book about Achilles' body parts.
Yeah.
And you talk about neck and shoulder pain.
Right.
Indicating that one might have been beheaded in a past life.
Yeah.
Were there lots of beheadings?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's actually it's a bit chilling when you go into the history, but beheadings are a lot more common than you might imagine as forms of execution. Even in places in Europe, they were still executing people with the guillotine until mid 1900s.
Oh, really?
You know, we think of it as being sort of like some brutal medieval thing, but
no,
it's much more recent. But then in all sorts of ways, and it, you know, it's everything from, you know, the guillotine to, you know, on the battlefield. And it just seems to be much more common. What I found is that people who've been hanged in a past life will have issues around the throat chakra,
mm-hmm.
Which often is related to self-expression. Sometimes they can't get words out if they get nervous, or they have neck pain. Sometimes the throat will close up. But if it's a beheading, then it's neck and shoulder pain. So there's a story that I talk about in the book.
Yes.
Which was, now all my sessions, or almost all my sessions, are over the phone or Skype. So I'm talking to somebody on the phone, and I'm looking at a past life that she had. It was actually during the French Revolution when, of course, there were a lot of beheadings. And I found that she'd lost her head, so to speak. She'd been beheaded. And there's some other injuries, and they all showed up in this life. There were some hand injuries from the arrest, and they showed up in exactly the same place.
All of this happened in one lifetime.
All one lifetime, yeah. So I said to her, you know, having found the past life, and I told her, well, this is what I'd expect, that you'd have neck and shoulder pain. And she said, I've had 20 years of chronic neck and shoulder pain. And she's a ballroom dance teacher. And she said, I have to look around all the time, and it's killing me. It's just so painful.
Oh.
And the principle, I mean, the reason that we look for Achilles' body parts, these areas of weakness that stem from past lives, is that by finding those, the root cause of the weakness that you have in the body, that area you always get pains in, mm-hmm. or, you know, that's why I call them Achilles' body parts. You know, they do tend to be that sort of area of weakness. You know, people often, everything goes to their lungs, you know, the colds always go to their chest, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Can go to, say, something like TB in the lungs in the past life. So by reminding somebody, you're reminding the soul, you're saying by airing the past life, you're reminding the soul that was then, this is now. So it doesn't have to hold on to this ghost memory of the past. And with this woman that I was talking about, the moment that I aired this past life of beheading, this 20 years of chronic pain disappeared.
Just disappeared?
Just like that.
Wow.
And I was telling a story at an event, a live event, maybe about a year later, and this hand goes up in the back of the room, and it's her. And she goes, you know, never come back.
A live testimonial right there.
It was, you know, it's like the old time medicine show.
Right.
You know,
and she wasn't a plant, right?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. We're talking with soul psychic Ainsley MacLeod, and the author of his latest book. He is the author of his latest book, The Old Soul's Guidebook. And we can do this thanks to the generosity of Windermere Vashon Real Estate. They support all our community information programming and make our emergency alert service possible. You can find them on the web at windermerevashon.com. So how do we, you call this new book, your third book, The Old Soul's Guidebook. And my first question is it part of a continuum? Your first book was the
Instruction.
The Instruction. The second?
The Transformation.
And this is the Old Soul's Guidebook. Is this part of a continuum?
What I bore in mind when I was writing this is that I wanted to speak to people who had read the first two books, mm-hmm. but also to newcomers to this. So it'll work for both. There are some of the principles that I talk about in the other books that I start off with in here because it's so important. What I've discovered through doing this work is that some very fundamental principles, and one being that who you are is why you're here. That if you really want to start delving into your life purpose, it begins by understanding the personality, then the source of your beliefs and so on, that you're pulling into this life from lives that have gone before. There's a section actually in the book, I call it Scaling Mount Everest in Flip-Flops. And it's actually, the idea is that you wouldn't climb Mount Everest in flip-flops, you would wear appropriate gear. And the same goes for your personality, that you choose an appropriate personality for each life. That's it, you know, before you come in here. And something else I'm very fond of saying is that people who think that babies are born as blank slates have clearly never met one.
That's right.
You know, and especially if you have two babies and you can compare them, you'll know that they come in like little fully loaded computers. They have all their
quirks and behavior. I was able to compare my sons in utero.
Right.
They were different people when I carried them, and those personalities stuck.
Right. Yeah. And so we come in with what we've developed in past lives, and and even the age of the soul as well will have a huge bearing on how that person perceives the world. You know, we see the world through the lenses of our soul's age and experience. And so I start off by talking about soul ages and soul types, which are these archetypes that are mm-hmm. based on the function in the tribe, like, or in past lives.
Would this book be something that a person who is not yet an old soul would be inclined to read, or are they going to, there are younger souls who may not have reached this level of life perspective. Would they be inclined to read this book?
I would have thought not. No, uh-huh. I'm actually, you know, having been now doing this work for about 20 years, I'm pretty clear about, you know, who my demographic is.
Ah.
And young souls just, they're not interested in this kind of thing. I've never had a young soul client.
Interesting.
They're not drawn to this. I get younger old souls.
Uh-huh.
It's usually the husband of somebody who had an old soul who had a really great session, and she goes, "Oh,
drags him in,
you know,
yes.
Yeah, drags in the husband, and you know, we look at each other and go, should we just go to the pub? You know, you're really not interested." But no, young souls, they don't have the introspection, which is one of the big signs of being an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's required, usually not the openness either. And I do communicate with young souls, but usually they write me long letters about or messages about, you know, how I'm doing Satan's work or something like that.
Ooh.
So, you know, the old souls are my target audience, and people who are open to this kind of thing.
Can't tell us more about why it is important to understand our past lives. For now, in other words, wouldn't it be just as good to work on today? What's going on with me today?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we could work on what's going on with you today, and it would be like 2 minutes before we start going into the past. You know, whether it's earlier, you know, earlier in this week or in this life. But really, so much of who we are lies in the past. I mean, we're, you know, if you imagine that who you are is really accumulation of all the experiences that you've had. You know, for example, I'm talking about soul types. And if you're a creator type, then creativity is going to be up in this life. You know, you'll want some creative outlet,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have the traits that go with creative people. You know, they tend to have that sensitivity that's associated with artists and artistic people. And you learn to be that in past lives. And it might have been as an artist, a visual artist, a painter, sculptor, but it could have been as a chef or a gardener. It's all sorts of creative outlets, and you can bring that creativity to so many things. Past lives as a potter or a jewelry maker or making clothes or whatever. And that all those lives of creativity, they get pulled into this life to allow you to easily tap into that. And so, you know, one of the things I talk about is how you see on YouTube these talented kids.
Yes.
You know, genius 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds playing guitar like, you know, like Stevie Ray or somebody.
Yeah, or 9-year-olds standing up to Parliament.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And people say, gosh, you know, where does that come from? Well, it's obvious. It's too, well, at least it is to me. You know, it's like, yeah, it's past lives. You know, they're often picking up where they left off. They have the talent and the passion and the feel for something. It's a comfortable territory for them because they've done it before.
If I'm an old soul who is not yet totally clear on my life's purpose, How can I use your book, The Old Soul's Guidebook, to begin to identify my life purpose? Can I?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really the purpose of this. You know, part of what I was trying to do when I wrote this is I was thinking about what would I have wanted, you know, maybe 25 years ago when I started to get interested in this kind of work, or, you know, earlier in my life, you know, what would I have wanted that would have maybe sped up the whole process? Mm-hmm. And so I bore that in mind as I was writing this. So, as I say, your life purpose, or if you're looking for the reason that you're here, really, it begins by understanding who you are, because, you know, like I say, if you're a creator type, you're looking for creativity. If you're looking, if you're one of these outdoorsy types, you know, you love sailing, you love hiking, you love climbing, you have past lives as maybe a hunter or leader type, and you're bringing that in, but then we'll tell you that, well, there's these experiences that you'd be drawn to. It's amazing how I'll see people who they have the performer in them, the performer, they learn to be that way through being a dancer or an actor or something in a past life. And it's incredible how people get caught up in their day jobs that are not suitable for them. And I'll say to somebody, you know, you're a performer and you're working in the back room of this insurance company. You know, why aren't you dancing? And people go, I don't know, I love to dance. And, you know, so it's by understanding sometimes that these things are not rocket science, but there are things that we enjoy doing that are expressions of our soul. It's like if you like playing music, well, why aren't you doing it more?
And what sort of signs would I observe in my current life that might tell me I'm not on the right path, I'm not on the path my soul has chosen? What would I be looking for?
You'd be looking for a feeling of looking around the next corner, like you're not able to be fully in the moment doing whatever you're doing, because your soul feels this is not what we should be up to. For example, let's say you're a caregiver type, mm-hmm. and you learn to be that way through taking care of the sick and dying in previous lifetimes, or maybe tending to animals or taking care of children or something. In this life, if you get the opportunity to express who you are through, let's say, taking care of children, you're going to feel in the moment. You're not going to be looking at your watch and going, Jesus, when can I get out of here? But you're being totally fulfilled by that experience. You know, so sometimes, let's say you have some activity where you think, well, I'll just do this for half an hour. And then 2 hours go by and you go, gosh, where did the time go? Well, that's a sign that's something that's consistent with your life plan. Your soul isn't trying to get you to be anywhere else. But if you're somewhere and you're doing something and you go, well, that's got to be an hour, and you look at your watch and it's been 10 minutes, well, that's kind of telling you something.
It's a clue.
Right, yeah.
So it sounds like observing the moments of joy in one's life would help us to identify our life purpose.
Absolutely. I mean, life is supposed to be enjoyable. It's not to be, you know, we're not supposed to just go from one miserable event to the next. It's like, have some fun with it. So sometimes that's, you know, that's what I say. It's not rocket science. I mean, it's not that hard. You know, what do you enjoy doing? And if you enjoy doing it, why aren't you doing it more? And where will doing something, you know, people are often waiting for a passion to come along. You know, mm-hmm. when you hear, you know, the motivational speaker tells you, follow your passion.
Right.
And most people go,
what's that?
Oh, no, I don't really have a passion. But what I say is that, you know, find something that interests you, what intrigues you, and then start doing that, and then see where that leads you. Because the intrigue will usually lead to the passion rather than, you know, being the other way around.
You're listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, and my guest today is Ainsley MacLeod, soul psychic and author of The Old Soul's Guidebook, which is available today on a variety of venues.
And also, it's actually oldsoulsguidebook.com. Very simple.
All right, there's a website.
Yeah.
we're running out of time, but a lot of folks, when they think about past lives and souls, think about soulmates.
Right.
What is a soulmate, and do we have just one?
Great questions, because I get asked this all the time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I get people who say, you know, I just got divorced from my soulmate. Am I going to be alone for the rest of my life? And, you know, I liken it to buses. You know, you miss the bus, or the bus breaks down or whatever, there'll be another one.
Oh.
Generally.
Ah.
You know, I've only met two people. I've been reading people for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've met two clients who have no desire to be in a relationship. It's part of their life plan. It's related to past lives, things that they want to do in this life. They're essentially hermits, but they live alone and wouldn't want to be with anybody. And their lives would be horribly disrupted if they were. Almost everybody is meant to be in a relationship. And the older the soul, the more you want to make sure that that relationship is a member of your soul family. And the soul family is a group of souls that came into the world at the same time that you did. So you're trying increasingly, as your soul ages, to be with those members of the family. And so the spirit guides as well, we all have them, and they're guiding us to meet each other. And, you know, sometimes giving us little nudges, you know, like, there's somebody you should talk to, or turn right when you go out the door and you're going to bump into somebody. You know, they're nudging and trying to get us to meet all the time. But soulmates are souls that are part of the soul family, but usually ones that we've known before.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually always ones that we've known before. We're not necessarily in a romantic context, but it could have been in a past life, maybe could have been a parent or a business partner or a friend, but you had some connection, some deeper connection with that person. And the reason for choosing someone from that pool of soul family is to make sure that you can get to a deeper place more quickly, rather than forming a friendship with somebody who's outside of the family. It's going to be much harder to get to that place.
So in this life, are soulmates always romantic relationships? Or?
Well, for convenience, the spirit guides I work with would use the term soulmate generally to imply that it's a romantic agreement. But they sometimes will use it just to describe a very strong connection between two people. You know, you've known each other from the past. They use the term old friends usually, but they'll sometimes just use soulmate sort of interchangeably.
So when I meet someone and I feel an instant connection, they're not necessarily a soulmate, but they might be someone I knew in a past life.
An old friend.
An old friend.
And that is the sign that you feel a connection, almost like I've known you before.
Mm-hmm.
Our conversation flows, it's nice and easy. Or you mm-hmm. feel safe in that person's
yes, trust.
Presence. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, the good thing is to know that there are multiple soulmates, multiple agreements, so that you don't get stuck in a situation, because, you know, I've seen that as well, where people are in a horrible relationship, but they feel, well, this is my soulmate, and so I got to stick it out. But sometimes you can make an agreement on a soul level and come here to the physical plane and things go wrong, or, you know, people have issues that weren't foreseen. So there's no obligation. A soulmate agreement is a romantic agreement, but it doesn't come with any obligation. So, you know, just because that person is a soulmate doesn't mean you're, you know, if you don't, you know, wind up with them, you're going to be alone for the rest of your life. And
oh, so there are no guarantees either.
There's no guarantees, no. But there's usually a higher chance, all being well, that you can get to that deeper place of intimacy, which is what the soul's seeking. The soul is seeking to learn about love. It's the ultimate goal. And this is one of the ways of getting there.
Amazing. There's always more to talk about when you're here, Ainsley. But we're out of time. You've been listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. Thank you for listening.